Hello, and welcome to Teacher Tales, a podcast from the spirit of teaching. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I invite you to join me and my guests as we get curious, explore, discover, and learn more about what is really at the heart of teaching. In each episode, we will hear the story of a teacher, what called them to teach, what are their greatest joys and challenges in teaching, what inspires them, and what are their hopes, dreams, and vision for the education of children. We will learn more about the greatest lessons they have taught and also the greatest lessons they have learned. No checklists, no standards, no reports, no paperwork, and no data. Just stories from their hearts to our hearts on a journey to celebrate what really matters in the true spirit of teaching. So hi everyone and welcome back to Teacher Tales. I'm so excited that you're here and I have a really special guest, a very dear friend of mine that I'm going to introduce. I'm going to let her introduce herself to you. So,
hi, my name is Jenny Walker. I'm a French teacher, retired now, but I taught for 26 years in Brevard County. And also taught at Eastern Florida State College, taught French there as well. And I'm very glad to be here today.
Yeah, and also you're in a new adventure, being an author, an award-winning author.
Yes,
so we're
going to
talk about that.
Okay, great.
And you know, I'm going to invite everyone to check out your books and your website and everything.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, and what I really would like to try to talk about today is how, you know, why you became a teacher, how your career went, because, you know, we had parallel paths for a while. We taught a long time together. And then now in retirement, the whole idea of you have a new path and your passion and what you passed on to kids, you're also continuing with it. And so this whole idea of what I told you, they say about teachers, those that can do and those that can't teach. And I think you're a great example that goes against that. I think I am too. And I think really great teachers can do a lot of different things, have a lot of different talents and interests, and we pass it on to the kids and have a big impact. So tell us first how you got into teaching.
I think I was born to be a teacher. I was the oldest of the family. I had two younger brothers. And I just remember we used to always play school. I would teach them about dinosaurs and astronomy and reading and just everything. And then when I was 11 in seventh grade, our gifted program offered the chance to take French. And so I started taking French and I loved it. And I got my first award, you know, the end of the seventh grade, best in French award. It was a thrill. So I kept taking French all through high school and decided, much to the shock of my friends, to turn down acceptance into a nursing program and instead become a teacher. And they were shocked, well, what do you want to become a teacher for? But I just felt in my heart, I loved French so much and I loved teaching that I just knew it was for me. So when I went to UCF, they had a summer immersion program at that time, and I got to spend a summer in Normandy and 6 weeks living with a French family. And in the morning, we would take classes, and one of the most important classes I took that really impacted my life was French civilization. And I learned about the culture, and I was fascinated. And I decided then that I was going to have that be the focus of my teaching. And so we, during that summer, we went like on excursions to Mont-Saint-Michel, to the chateaus of the Loire Valley, to the D-Day beaches in Normandy, to see the Bayeux Tapestry. And those were all the things that I just knew I was going to tell my students about because they just were so thrilling to me. And so when I became a teacher, I incorporated a lot of that teaching language through culture. And I would do things like puppet shows or theater in the classroom. We would watch musicals or movies. And I found that by teaching the arts like that, you could touch students' hearts. Mm-hmm. And there's a famous French writer, Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, and he wrote in a very famous novel, The Little Prince, on ne voit bien qu'avec le cœur. You can only see clearly with your heart. And I think that's what I was trying to do with my students, was to get them to see with their heart and to love this beautiful language and culture and have that impact their lives the way it had mine.
I use that quote a lot too. And you can see I'm tearing up right now because that's what we
I think really effective teachers do is that they get the kids to see the world through their heart. And culture is a great context to put all of that into. Yeah.
I was telling you a little while ago when we were chatting, when you impact students' lives like that, it's amazing. Like I had a student recently, her name is Amy. She's my Facebook friend. She's an adult now. 20 years ago, she was my student. And she sent me a picture on Facebook. Madame, look at this. And she had taken a picture of the marquee in New York City that she was going to see a performance of the musical Notre Dame de Paris that I had presented in class 20 years earlier. Mm-hmm. And she was thrilled that she was going to go in person and see this. And then she told me afterwards, I sat beside Luc Blamondon, and he was the creator of the original musical that I had presented to her in that class 20 years earlier. And she said they were chatting in French about how she had encountered this 20 years ago in high school in my French class. And so I know that at least for that student, that was a profound influence in her life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's those real world connections and making it meaningful. And when you use culture to do that and connect it to the kids' lives, but also give them experiences that they can discover a little more about themselves and their gifts and everything. So you also took kids to competition. You worked really hard and went above and beyond, always for the students. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, how not compensated for that and how that's a little bit of a bitter pill to swallow. And I think it's turning a lot of teachers around nowadays, too, where they're setting very clear, strict boundaries about I'm not going to do anything past 3:30 because I'm not compensated. But let's talk about the real positive impact of you taking kids to competition and doing those sort of fun activities in class, like you said, sword fights and
yes,
acting out plays.
Oh, yeah. The state of Florida has, at least they used to, I'm not sure if since COVID, if it still is in effect, but they used to have the state French competition called Congrès. And every year I would take a team of 30, that was the maximum you could take. And we would do like poetry recitals and plays and Brain Bowl. And they had the opportunity to win an all expense paid study abroad scholarship by the French government. And I'm very proud that from 2003 to 2017, when I retired, I had 17 kids win that scholarship. And that's the greatest achievement of my professional career, you know. But one of the things that we would do at that state competition would be to enact plays. And it was great, you know, I had some of my male students dressing up like, you know, fancy French gentlemen with like jabot and ruffles. And in the classroom, even the kids that didn't go to the state competition, I had, like you said, what I would call theater in the classroom. And we would reenact like a story we had read or a musical we had seen or a movie. And we would do sword fights in the lawn behind my class, you know, reenacting Cyrano de Bergerac. Or one of the students would be up on the second story balcony speaking to Juliet, you know, from the Romeo and Juliet French musical we would watch. And those were the kinds of things I think that my students are going to remember forever, you know, mm-hmm. as it touched their hearts.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And also allows them, like I said, to share their gifts, because when they're allowed to express themselves in different ways instead of on a test or, you know, in that way, they can discover a lot more about themselves. And
absolutely.
And so, you know, a lot of what is going on right now in Florida and, you know, what we can teach the kids and what we can't or what we can allow them to explore or not is really difficult and heartbreaking for teachers like us that really, you know, wanted the kids to explore and learn more about the world and their place in the world. And that's what competition helped them to do. And all of that creativity and kind of open-ended approach to learning that you had for
yeah,
the kids.
Yeah. An interdisciplinary approach too, like combining history and geography and literature and art and mm-hmm. music and tying it all together so that you could appeal to everyone. And, mm-hmm. and that was a great way of, you know, one of the big things in education I was to teach every student individually. And mm-hmm. by doing that, you could, you know, tweak what they loved and let them shine in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was
mm-hmm.
great.
So, and I'm sure you have lots of kids reach out to you and tell you the impact that you've had on their lives. I mean, my own daughter had you, and she can still, you know, speak French, and she knows all the words to the musicals and can sing along. And she was in Congrès, and she remembers that experience very fondly everything. So,
even though I never, ever received a supplement for that. Which is, you know,
how many hours?
Unfair.
It is unfair. And
I mean, we would start, for example, I would have tryouts in September, pick the team, and then collect all the money, make all the reservations for the hotels and the registration, and get the parents and the signed documents and all that paperwork that's required.
Liability.
And then start in January with, you know, daily competitions, or not competitions, but practices, rehearsals for like, Mondays would be French 1, Tuesdays would be French 2, and even Saturdays, you know, for plays and putting together for the album, which was kind of like a scrapbook of all the things we do throughout the year. And then go to the event in March or April. So if from September to April, it was pretty much a whole year-long kind of thing. And to get no compensation for that at all, that's unfair to teachers like us that would do that. Mm-hmm. Whereas if we had been, for example, an athletic sponsor, we would have gotten a pretty decent supplement.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And so also share with everyone the story about how the year the soccer team won.
I don't want to take anything away from the soccer team's win, because it was amazing for them to win first place in Class 2A, you know, the state soccer championship. But my French team had done the same thing. We had won first place in Class 2A, but in addition to that, we'd also won straight superiors for both of our plays, for our album, for our Brain Bowl. We'd won the state Brain Bowl championship that year as well.
And scholarship.
And the study abroad scholarship, the number one thing you can win in the state of Florida at the state French competition. So when the soccer team won first place in the state, they were televised on the local, you know, TV station. The whole game was televised. Every day during lunch, during our school announcements and our school news, there would be clips from the game. We had, you know, fire drills and, you know, assemblies and pep rallies, and they were all featured, which is wonderful for them. And I don't mean to take it away from them. But my French students would ask me, why aren't we recognized for our achievements? Mm-hmm. And we never were. And that was very difficult, too. There's so much emphasis on sports and so little on academics, especially in elective subjects.
Mm-hmm. So that, I mean, it's like you have all this passion, you have this dedication, you're doing everything for the kids. How do we keep from feeling like there's someone with a fire hose just like putting that fire out for us and for the kids? And did you discover any strategies or techniques?
I did it even despite all of that, just for the love for the students. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you're the kind of teacher that you and I were and still are, you know, that you do it for love, and that even though everybody's trying to knock you down, you just love it. You love your students, and that's what you do it for. You do it for them.
There's a saying that I heard recently. It was a mantra for mindfulness. It was turn off the chatter and focus in on what matters. And I think that's what you have to do. If we're listening to all these exterior things, this input of, you know, negativity or you can't do it or why are you doing it, and don't really dig deeper into our why. Why are we doing it? You know, what matters? And the kids are what matters.
The kids are what matters.
The kids are what matters. And
you're impacting their lives like no one else can, you know.
For sure, And I know there's a lot now, too, with teachers pushing back about that's toxic positivity, or we need to be compensated more, so I'm not going to do anything more because of that and everything. But I know you went to the school board, you advocated for more pay, for more compensation, and you were told no every step of the way.
That's right,
But the kids, that's what kept
you
going.
I still kept doing it for 20 years. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So what recommendations would you have for a new teacher that's just starting and has this passion and wants to pass it on to the kids?
Stay true to your passion. Mm-hmm. You know, keep that passion in your heart, because that's the driving force that makes you a success.
Mm-hmm. It is, and it lives on. Another phrase I've heard saying, the person of real impact is the one who plants the seeds, knowing that they'll never sit under the shade of that tree.
Yeah.
And I think
that's a beautiful quote.
Yeah, that's what we do, and that's what we're trying to do. Yes. Continuing. Absolutely. And so you're still sharing your passion for French and for your experiences learning French and going to Avignon and all of that. And so now you are an award-winning author. So you want to talk to us about, you know, how you retired a little early. And I think a lot of teachers will be able to relate to this, because with COVID and a lot of other outside forces, they felt, I'm not making an impact. I can't do anything. And I'm sick now. That happened to me too. I need to get out. But you still have talents and gifts and a passion that now you're sharing in another way. Mm-hmm. And so teachers can do, and you know,
yes,
they are multi-talented and they have a huge gift to share with society and community and for the greater good of humanity for the future. So tell us about your new path.
Well, one of the things that I did when we used to go to our state competition was I had written a little play for my French 1 students to perform. And when I had gotten my master's degree in literature, I found a French legend that I loved, Tristan et Iseult, which in English is Tristan and Isolde. And I loved that legend, and I transformed it into a French 1 play for my students to perform at the state competition. And I blended together Beauty and the Beast with some Celtic magic, like a fairy or Merlin the Magician. And I wrote the little play, Iseult la Belle et Tristan la Belle. And I had an epiphany in 2021. I'd been retired from teaching for 4 years. I'd been playing with my little granddaughters a lot and enjoying life, you know. But I read a couple of series from an author that I admire, Sarah J. Maas. And I read her Throne of Glass series, and I read her A Court of Thorns and Roses series. And in both of those, she had taken a fairy tale or legend and had added paranormal fantasy. And I thought, wow, why don't I do that? I wrote this little play. Why don't I transform that into my trilogy? And that's what I did. And so I have written my debut novel, The Wild Rose and the Sea Raven, was book one. That was published in September. And then book two, The Lady of the Mirrored Lake, in January. And the conclusion of the trilogy, The Emerald Fairy and the Dragon Knight, that's going to come June 21st, the summer solstice. So in that trilogy, I combine my love for French, my love for legends, my research into French dark fairy tales and mythology from the forest of Brocéliande, and I put that all together with all the passion in my heart. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't resulted in a lot of sales, but it's gotten awards. That's wonderful.
But just like teaching, it is something we're planting seeds, we're passing it on.
That's right.
And there are people out there that need to read that. They need to live through that, what you're sharing.
Imagination.
Mm-hmm. And creativity.
Yeah.
And the same thing in the classroom. And the more we take the creativity out of the classroom and put more restrictions on teachers, the less opportunity there is to inspire kids to discover themselves, to learn about the world around them. And sometimes the world can be sad. Sometimes it can be a little painful. You were talking about a movie that you were showing in class and a parent, you know, didn't like it because her child felt sad about it, but it was about the Holocaust and World War II, and that those are sad topics, but the kids loved exploring it. They loved, learning about humanity, and we do that with books, and we do that with reading, and it's really interesting to see that, you know, educators are, you know, we're facilitators and we're helping to enlighten, you know, children and stuff, yet so much is being put in the dark and not allowing them to explore these things and such.
And the students suffer as a result of that. Mm-hmm. The more we are told you have to adhere to constraints and teach standardized tests and skills like that, the less creativity there is in teaching and the less you impact the students' hearts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But who's to say that just because a student, you know, is not doing well in a certain area that maybe is not a passion or whatever of theirs, like maybe it's math, and yet they find their path and their passion through French or through the arts, you know, mm-hmm. through the art classes, and a lot of the electives are being cut out because we don't feel that that's important.
They want the bare bones minimum, the meat and potatoes.
Yeah. But, you know, we know from interacting with businesses and everything, and this is, I've, again, having the skills of being able to speak other languages and being an empath and listening to people, I was able to get jobs when I couldn't be a teacher. I worked in an import-export business in New York, or I was able to go into the HRS and work with their employees about how to interact with these people from other countries that were coming in to get, you know, child support or food stamps or whatever. And and it's more like going back to what you said about culture and seeing the world through culture and the lens of culture and humanity. Mm-hmm. And that's so important. It really is.
It certainly is.
Yeah, it is. So thank you for everything that you did for kids and the impact that you
had. I did it for them. And I think so fondly of, I've probably had 3,000 students over my career. And I love them all.
Mm-hmm. Yep, me too. Unconditionally.
Yes.
You know, and sometimes I have to remind myself of that when I'm interacting with adults. I'm like, you got to love them all unconditionally. Everybody's, you know, got their own special, you know, light and everything. But sometimes it's a little harder with adults. Mm-hmm. But with kids, no matter what, no matter the hardest day with kids, it was never anything about the kids, and I think a lot of teachers relate to this. Just let me be in the classroom with the kids, and I'll be so happy.
Oh, yeah.
And
I retired 10 years too soon because of, you know, frustration with administration and policies and, you know, stuff like that. And never once did I have... It was nothing to do with the students. It was everything to do with bureaucracy.
Mm-hmm. With bureaucracy, that's it. Yeah, which... There's a word in French for you. French word. it was kind of the dementors. It still continues to be sucking the happiness out of education.
Yeah.
So
J.K. Rowling would love that.
Yeah.
Dementors.
Yeah, it really is. Isn't
that a banned book too?
Yes, yeah, everything.
Oh my goodness,
it seems
yeah.
like. So what's your greatest hope for children nowadays or for their education?
That they'll take what we give them in the classroom and use it to embellish their own lives and the lives of others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really important. It's not about that test.
No.
It really is not about that test.
Mm-mm.
So... Well, Jenny, thank you so much.
Well,
I'm sure everyone's going to be inspired. Tell us about your website and your trilogy again.
Okay, my trilogy, it's called The Wild Rose and the Sea Raven Trilogy. You can find me on Amazon or Goodreads or, you know, wherever you buy books, mm-hmm. Barnes & Noble, whatever. And my website is
jenniferivywalker.com.
Thank you so much for having me today, Linda. It was wonderful.
It was heartwarming.
Yes.
All through the heart, you know.
Yeah. On ne voit bien qu'avec le cœur. Yeah.
Exactement. Merci.
Hello again, everyone. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I'd like to invite you to nominate a teacher to be a guest on the podcast and to share their story. All you have to do is go to www.spiritofteaching.org and fill out the nomination form. Again, that's www.spiritofteaching.org. Also, please share, rate, and give some feedback to help us better serve you in the spirit of teaching. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to having you back next time on Teacher Tales.